Welcome to the Orchestra Teacher Podcast. This week we feature Ms. Lisa Hopko-Laux from the Orange County Public Schools and Maitland Middle School in Orange County, Florida. Lisa is a violist and performs with the Brevard Symphony, and she has spent her entire teaching career at Maitland Middle School. She has received many accolades over the years, including superior ratings at the Florida Orchestra Association Music Performance Assessment, and has performed with her orchestras in Atlanta, Chicago, and New York. She has conducted all county orchestras throughout the state and served on the board of directors for the Florida Symphony Youth Orchestra. She's also been a summer faculty member for both the Florida West Coast Symphony and UCF String Workshop, and has served as an adjunct professor at Stetson University as an instructor of their Secondary Strings Methods course. Most recently, she was selected as the 2017-2018 Florida School Teacher of the Year by the Florida ASTA chapter. It is my pleasure to welcome Ms. Lisa Hopko-Laux.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here. It means a lot to me.
Well, it's an honor to have you. And like I said, we worked together when I was teaching down in Orlando, and Lisa has been there your entire career. Am I correct to say that? You've taught at Maitland Middle School outside of Orange County?
This is my 23rd year teaching and 23rd year at Maitland Middle School.
Wow. That is not something that most people can say, to say at the same school. It's amazing. I bet you've seen so many people come and go, particularly like principals come and go, and you've had the years over, like up years and down years and all that in between. I don't know, you want to tell us a little bit about that, about your experience of being at the same school for 23 years?
Yeah, it's a very old program, the Winter Park and Maitland area. So mm-hmm. It was surprising to me that I was only the second full-time teacher. Prior to that, it was an itinerant position shared with Winter Park High School, which again is mind-boggling that you would run both a middle school and a high school program. And because it was itinerant, there was not a permanent classroom ever until they gave me a portable my first year teaching. So I had a portable for 3 years, five classes or six classes of anywhere from 80 to 160 kids in a portable.
Wow.
Nightmare situation. Lost a little bit of hearing, lost many instruments to humidity problems.
I bet, and especially down there, it's very humid and hot.
It was amazing to me that I taught in such a miserable situation when the kids were so incredibly gifted and talented, and we were still able to pull off such a high level of musicianship. So when you worked with me, I had gained a permanent classroom in the school, which was a converted chorus room, which I adored.
Mm-hmm. And I remember that you had the built-in steps.
Exactly.
The levels. The The risers built in. So you couldn't do much with that.
No, but I still loved that room. Yeah. We had a rebuild 11 years ago where they custom built an orchestra room for us.
Wow.
So we have one practice room, a locker room, an ensemble room, and an office for me. It's not as luxurious as the old suite where the chorus had the chorus orchestra room that I had, I think had seven practice rooms plus a locker room, plus a large ensemble room. It was very nice. So I've seen a lot of changes over the years. I've seen a wide variety of talent levels come through.
Sure.
Very, very sweet kids, great parents historically in our area. And this is, of course, the pandemic and the most unique challenge that nobody ever expected.
Isn't it? Yeah. I mean, never in a million years would I have thought that I would be teaching this way. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how your schedule is working, and, you know, are you hybrid? Are you all, I know that you've been face-to-face, but is everybody face-to-face? Can you tell us a little bit about your situation?
So for Maitland Middle as a whole, our first marking period probably had about 30% of our population face-to-face. And now we're more like 60-40, 60% face-to-face and 40% still at home.
Wow, okay.
With the new year, with the new marking period approaching, I expect that we will have probably, from what the kids have said, more like 80% back on campus.
Wow, okay.
And only your high-risk kids staying at home or many of my students are related to first responders. So they are choosing to stay home because they right. don't want to be spreaders.
Right. Well, that's responsible.
Yes, it is. It's very nice. So I forgot to mention that over the course of the years, I don't just teach orchestra. We added a guitar program on around a dozen years ago. So my current schedule is 4 periods of orchestra and 2 periods of beginning guitar. So 4 orchestras are different levels, beginning, intermediate, advanced, and then my top group.
Then does someone teach an advanced guitar class too, or is it just beginning and that's all they get?
We used to have advanced guitar last year, but not to throw my guidance counselor under the bus, but we had one guidance counselor who only scheduled a whole bunch of eighth graders. So there was no seventh grade bunch of kids to feed the advanced guitar. So we just opted for beginning guitar for 2 classes, and then we'll bring it back next year.
Is it a full year course or a semester course?
Everything is full year.
Got it. Okay. Yep.
So yes, I am hybrid for all of those classes. At Maitland, we do have some teachers still teaching exclusively virtual from home because they are high risk. Oh, normally, those are your core teachers only.
Sure.
We have mostly organized the core classes to be all face-to-face or all virtual, and it's very rare that a core class is hybrid. Okay. So I would say there are probably 10 of us on campus as a whole that are teaching hybrid.
Okay.
Yeah. Of course, the most challenging subjects are hybrid.
Yeah, exactly. So then you said that you had about 40% or 60% of your students back. Is that the school as a whole or is that your orchestra program?
Both.
Okay. Both. Okay. Yeah. So mine's not aligning. I think I mentioned this in the previous episode, but we have about 45-50% of our students back, but I have 16% of my orchestra kids back. So it's, I have classes of 2, 3, 5. My biggest class is 7.
Wow.
And it's disheartening, but understandable, and everybody has their own comfort level of what's working for them. So that's nice that you have at least a semi-large group each day to work with. And so tell us how you're going about with the hybrid and some things that are working really well for you, or kind of how you're going about it. Like how is it going for you?
Sure. So we have obviously a camera. We use the Ladybug camera currently that's focused on me. I do a double camera system so the kids at home can see me from 2 perspectives. Mm-hmm. We have a smart board. We have all the screen shares that you would need. We do have the actual smart technology that I could have them join with codes and use it that way. I found that to be just a little too many steps and too cumbersome. So I'm trying to make it as old school and normal as possible that we are trying to run basically an orchestra or a guitar program that is focused on the individual skills through this method.
Right.
I think the kids understand that this is really all that we can do is just work on ourselves. So there's a lot of method book stuff going on in my classroom.
That's good.
Yep. Tons of method books.
What method are you using?
I am an Essential Elements girl. Both for guitar and orchestra, but I do find with Essential Elements guitar, I need to supplement more with at least 2 other series.
Okay. For more repertoire.
Exactly. More exercises, more repertoire.
Yeah. I
feel like that one moves a little too fast, that they need more content for practice.
Got it.
So if you were to walk in my room, you would see me tuning the orchestra. I have used your tuning YouTubes, but now I'm finding that I want to go back to a little bit more old school and just have a tuner that just is playing, and I am not tied to a time limit to tune.
Right.
And making the kids listen, and the kids at home obviously have been taught to tune to a visual tuner.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that has helped me a lot is offering after school appointments for those kids that need help tuning or need tutoring or maintenance of any kind.
Okay.
The first marking period, I stayed after school 3 days a week and did maybe maximum of hour appointments, maybe 4 15-minute appointments after school. Mm-hmm. And now I've been able to downsize it to 2 days a week and only offering 1 or 2 appointments.
That's a lot of extra work.
It is a lot of extra work, but extra I didn't time. See any other way to reach out to those kids at home.
Right.
I do have a couple kids at home who are not comfortable coming to campus at all whatsoever. Yeah. So their parents have been taking their instrument to a local music store to get it tuned.
But whatever works. I recommend that. I have, I'm at high school, so most of my kids can take care of their instruments, but I've had a few kids with some, severe peg problems or whatever. And so either they brought them in and do a drive up thing or, go to the music store. But yeah, that's definitely challenging, especially with your beginners. Teaching beginners during this time has to be probably way more difficult than teaching them, when you have them face to face all at the same time.
Yeah, that's the negative part of all this. So if you were to look at my beginning class, especially my beginning orchestra class, there is such a wide variety of achievement levels. There are still students who do not have their instruments. They have not participated at all other than signing on to the conference. They don't play. They don't share their webcams. They have very little involvement. Now, as far as why don't they have instruments? Well, they had all those days that they could come in and check them out. We did have everyone else came on campus. Yeah. I have done home deliveries too, but it's frustrating that they still haven't gone to a music store or anything. And I keep reaching out to the kid. What do we need to do to get you an instrument? What did you want to play? Well, I wanted to play cello. Okay, let's go ahead and get this done. Let me talk to your mom while she's sleeping. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, there's just like excuse after excuse.
Sure.
There could be an underlying problem. We are looking at schedule changes at this point because the catch up may or may not be there. If the kid shows the initiative, I will stay after school for an additional day. I will come in before school, whatever they want me to do to make them successful. If they show me the initiative.
Yeah. Yeah. You could only do so much. And I've realized the same thing. And I had to give a little lecture to my students this week. Because I know for a fact there are, kids who are not taking their instruments out of their cases and they're logging into the meetings and then I call on them and I get nothing from them or we end the meeting and they're still on and I say, are you there? And they're not. And so it's just a matter of at this point, especially with high school kids, a lot of it's a matter of just respect. And I said, it's disrespectful to me, but it's really disrespectful to your classmates too, who are participating and someday we will be back and you're going to be behind. And I had some playing tests submitted this week that were just abominable because we're playing, probably 2 levels down from where we would normally play. So this is music the kids, if they played along with us in class, this is, orchestral music. They played along with us during class. They should be able to pick it up. No problem. And it was a month late, the test, and it was abominable. Like you couldn't even recognize anything.
Yeah.
And again, 2 levels below where the kid auditioned and should be playing. But if you're not practicing every day, you're not going to be able to do it. So it just kind of set me off a little bit this week. And, I have to realize that everybody's in different situations and that you just kind of discuss that. We don't know. But at the same time, I know this kid pretty well. If he was actually responsive on the calls, then that would be one thing. But it was not. So I had to kind of
it's their education. It's their choice.
It is. But we've mentioned this multiple times on this podcast. But we all take what we do very personally.
Oh my gosh.
And this is another example of that.
Yes. To brag a little bit about how that may be decreasing the participation. We haven't talked about what systems I use. We have a Canvas. We are a Canvas school.
Canvas, okay.
Which backs up to Skyward. So there's that. And then my bragging is about Land School. We have Land School currently. Land School is kind of your big brother program where I have been able to load a class and see on my screen a snapshot of every kid's screen in my classroom.
Wow.
Well, now we just transferred to Land School Air. And as of yesterday, when I opened Land School Air, I can see every student's screen in my entire class, whether or not they're home or on campus.
Wow. So you see their screen and what they're working on or what they...
So for instance, in beginning orchestra yesterday, I could see, well, you still, I would say only 50% of the kids have done the restart on their computer to allow this software in.
Once they found out what it was.
Like, dude, don't restart your computer, man. You're going to have land school air if you restart your computer. And now the county is going to force restart. But so as of yesterday, day one, trying land school air, I booted it up and I saw about half of my kids' screens. And of the half, I would say I saw half of the kids on the conference. And then I saw the other half of the kids on YouTube or games or whatever. So we can zoom into their screen. You can see what tabs are open. You can take a snapshot and send it to the parents and say, hey, this is what your kid was doing during fourth period beginning orchestra yesterday. Please encourage them to be, please encourage them. And they are not happy.
I think that there might be some people that would claim privacy type issues, but at the same time, it's a school device and the school district owns that device and expects the acceptable, the kids, all probably have to sign an acceptable use agreement and all that, right?
Exactly. Wow. Every kid that I said something about land school, they're like, man, that's an invasion of privacy. I said, no, it's not. It's our device. And they were just quiet. Now, true, if the student is using their own personal device, land school air is not a component of that.
Sure.
And we do have a shortage of computers in Orange County Public Schools. So we had a voluntary turn in. If you have a working computer with a webcam and you would like to share your school issued device with a student in need. And so we had a voluntary turn in. So I would say out of a given class, I have one student who has their own device.
Okay. That's
nothing. And generally that student is the overachiever anyway. So, we have everything at Maitland. We have a kid learning from their second home in another state. And then we have students who have district issued hotspots because they're homeless and they're living at a hotel. I have everything in between.
Yeah. It's we have a great deal of a diversity at Alpharetta too. And, a lot of people will look at Maitland and go, oh, well, they have everything and all the kids have this. And I think I get that a little bit too, but we do have a lot of diversity and we do have kids, even kids who are, financially well off and whatnot. I mean, now there's all kinds of, mental problems that are coming up with students and they're having all kinds of mental health issues that, so that's a totally different thing, have to deal with. And some of my superstars just kind of, fell off the planet and, now I'm, they finally, are getting help or whatever. And then, now we're doing a whole bunch of makeup work to get them caught up. And, I'm being very empathetic and, understanding with them because, we can't even, it's hard on us as adults, but I can't even imagine what kids these days, regardless of their age, but especially teens when, with all the things that they deal with anyways, are having to go through and being, quarantined and, just not having the things that they normally have, it's definitely challenging. And so I try to be very understanding, but yeah.
And that's where you go outside the method book for me. That's where I see those kids. I see the overachiever that you can tell is just bummed with their situation and they're doing their job, but you can tell they're not a whole child. And then I've had the ones that have dropped out. One thing that I think I've always succeeded in is building an orchestra community in my program.
Yes.
And we would have movie nights and our kickoff party was called Orktoberfest. And we'd have a field day and do games and Secret Santas.
Yeah.
Any auxiliary programs that I can bring in to build the orchestra culture, I always have. And so this year, the first thing I did was order orchestra face masks. If we're going to have to wear face masks, then show your orchestra pride.
That's a great idea.
Yep. And I keep reaching out to my kids on what else they want to do to build community. So for Halloween, we had an instrument costume contest and they posted pictures of their dressed up instruments. What was adorable is when they did a partner or a pair costume. I had a pirate and a wench with a violin, a girl in a red dress. We had Star Wars. The violin was Chewbacca and the kid was Darth Vader. I mean, turned out to be cute. It was low participation, but the kids who did it really enjoyed it.
That's fantastic.
Everyone enjoyed voting, though, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Another auxiliary thing that I have not yet completed was one of our local violinists and kind of a former student of mine is now the concertmaster of the Hamilton Touring Orchestra.
Okay.
And I have a lot of Hamill fans. So we did an interview with him that the kids are going to get to see.
Mm. That's fun.
Yeah. So anything like that, that help spark and keep their interest. I think for the holidays right now, I'm reaching out to the kids via Padlet. Padlet is an online bulletin board, so to speak, if you're not familiar with it, and post your ideas on how we should celebrate the holidays. And they're saying they want to do locker decorating contests, which is cool for me. We've done that in the past, but it doesn't reach to the at-home kids.
Yeah.
So I think we'll probably do a dress up your instrument for the holidays thing as well. And the kids will tell you what they need.
Yeah.
They certainly will. And it takes a little bit more effort to dig into those kids that need the boost. I'm sending a lot of positive letters home when I see an improvement. And I have seen kids that have come back face to face that are just finally blossoming. I wish we could all be back to face to face, but I don't think that that's going to be possible. No. Our school district is still allowing for choice come January 1st.
Yeah, ours too.
So any other things that I can do to reach out to the families and the kids to let them know that even though they're sitting at home, they are still part of our program.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah, I think community has been a challenge for me, particularly because I have so few face-to-face. I've commended my face-to-face kids because when there's two in a classroom or three in a classroom and we're, you know, they're all having to play, it's kind of like they're playing on their own almost. And it takes a lot of courage and a lot of bravery just to feel like you know, they're normally part of a large group and now they're in this very, very small group. It takes a lot of courage for them to play out and, you know, not be afraid to play. So I've commended my face-to-face kids a lot. And I'll also commend my students who are, you know, on the ball with the cameras on and thank them. And by doing that, and then, you know, there are a few more cameras will pop on here and there because, you know, I think they kind of want that recognition too. So trying to keep that going, but it definitely is challenging to be positive and, you know, and challenging to, you know, there's not as much to look forward to, like the concert or the banquet, and, you know, that kind of thing that we're used to doing. And that's kind of our goal. And it kind of sets our curriculum and our lesson plans. It's like, okay, we got a concert. Here's what we know what we have to do. We don't have to like plan it out so much. And when we're in this mode, it's kind of, I mean, it's, for me, it's requiring more planning. It's requiring, you know, more prep time, definitely more grading, more assignments. I just feel like that's what I have to do to keep everything going. Whereas, you know, the pop quiz playing tests or like little section checks where you can just do, you know, checkoffs for assessments, pretty hard to do now.
Yes. I'm sticking to basically one assignment per week and I'm trying to alternate playing and something computer based.
Okay. Tell us some of the, you know, obviously the playing tests or things, you know, played exercise from your book, but are you doing what other kind of supplemental assignments are you giving? Get some ideas for our audience here.
Sure thing. Musictheory.net. Yay. Mm-hmm. Everyone loves that kind of stuff. Any kind of assessment tools that I can grab easily and steal. The Canvas Commons is a wonderful resource for that, or at least some inspiration. So that's a place where you can post your lessons or share just literally steal and download other people's ideas.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's really nice to have that. Kahoot is a fun one that I'm exploring too. The kids at our school love Kahoot. And I'm starting to steal that for content or again, to try to give back. When I create a good one, I post it.
Sure.
We have recording built into our Canvas. So the kids just pop on what's called Canvas Studio and they play an excerpt for me of whatever we're doing there.
And that does audio and video?
It's audio and video. Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay.
Is it successful? I would say only about 50% of the time. There's many kids hiding who will not turn in videos and they say that they are afraid to record themselves. And I keep trying to say, well, okay, but here's the cool thing. You get multiple chances. When you play for me in a normal year, you get one chance and you're done. So they do like that aspect that they can go home, play whatever it is, exercise 46, two or three or four times until they like the recording.
Yeah.
And yay for us, then that just means they're practicing more.
Right.
So I have now offered the option of live performances now that I'm more comfortable with the whole technology system and how many cameras are on me. I'm offering the choice to send in your video via studio or play live in the class.
During class.
Yes. Okay. So here we go. Today is test day. Does anyone want to play live? And kid face-to-face plays. And then kid raises his hand in the camera and I unmute him and he plays for the class. So I would say that most kids still want to send it in via studio.
Okay.
And record it and send it to me. But a lot of my face-to-face kids are like, this is way easier. Oh my gosh. If I just play now, I'm done. I don't have to go home.
Right. You don't have to go home, log on.
And fight with the technology on it. So I think that I will keep that system for the rest of the year where they have a choice. I often offer a choice of which assessment to play too. I give them a choice of play number 46 or 47. I just want to see that they are playing and learning. Now I'm not just doing method books. I am doing some orchestral stuff and posting recordings on JW Pepper. So for instance, right now my top group is working on deck orations.
Yes, I love that one.
I love that one and they love it too. It's a little under their grade level. I would normally program something more aggressive for this time of year. And they're about tapped out on it.
Yep.
But again, it's something we can all play together. The sound quality when transferring from the school to the home is not great.
Yeah.
So they are allowed to mute me as a conference while we play together. This whole pandemic teaching has definitely changed my pacing a lot. And I have to allow for more breaks.
I think it's like twice as long. It's everything takes twice as long now. Feels like.
It really does. So we are passing out things like that and starting to do more sight reading. I'm toying with the idea of going into note flight next term and letting the students do some creations that way, because that is a very easy computer-based thing that we can all learn.
Right.
Yeah. And so they can start doing some notation. But again, I fear that they feel like I do, which is, oh gosh, not another system to learn.
Yeah.
That has been really tough for me personally and professionally to get over, where you're faced with this whole thing. And then they're like, well, hey, just put your Nearpod on your Canvas. And I'm like, wait, what's Nearpod? Oh, it's this great thing. Okay. So I start learning it and then they tell me about another system and I'm just like, okay, violist, one thing at a time here. Yeah. And that learning curve is going to happen. I get a swivel camera now coming January 1st. I don't know those if anyone knows what those are. It's a little robot that follows me around. So I think I'm going to feel more like an orchestra teacher in the future, but I just can't abandon those kids that are still sitting at home. They are still orchestra members and I got to keep doing that. Now, as far as anything virtual, we are not exploring those options because we have such poor, I mean, we have a lot of technology, but the computer that we use in class is a little $80 laptop. And I don't see organizing that for anything virtual. So I'm hoping to be back on campus doing something. Our district is allowing for a performance of up to 25% capacity in the auditorium, mask and other protocols. So it appears that we will perform this year.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. I am holding out for hopefully a spring concert.
Yep.
You know, that's going to be, and if we're able to do it, that will be amazing. I will be very, 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 very pleased if we can just do at least one concert. I know we're talking about our LGPE, our festival here, and you know, there, our district is requiring every school to take at least one group. Normally, I take five groups.
Wow.
But with 21 students face-to-face, I'm not sure how many virtual kids would come in. So that's what's going to happen in January, is I'm going to kind of do a poll and see if we can do some after-school distanced rehearsals indoors. And of course, everything depends on what happens with the cases. And our superintendent said yesterday that he's confident we'll be able to make it through these last 2 weeks, but he's concerned about what's going to happen in January because it's just spiking. So,
okay,
you know, and I think it's spiking everywhere, but it's starting to really spike here in Atlanta. So I'm concerned that, you know, they might, you know, go back to all virtual, or who knows right. What's going to happen. So, but with 21 students face to face, and I have 21 amongst my beginners through my top group, you know, my youngest group through my top group, it's super diverse. So to put them together in one ensemble would be not very good.
Yeah, I feel that. I'm toying with the idea of having two separate concerts, mm-hmm. A youngsters concert for my little babies, and then an upper concert for my advanced and chamber. Our LGPE is what you call it, our MPA,
our
evaluation. They're still collecting data. I'll be honest. I don't think that I'm going to be participating. Yeah. And some of it comes down to my most high risk kid is my bass player. Yeah. I don't see her coming to campus at all. Ever. And she's my one bass player. So if we do go to MPA, can we just do comments only? Let's just let the kids play. And it's been interesting to me how much this has kind of wiped out our competition and what we do, and made the entire world, not just the music community, reset and find its priorities again. And we're all finding our priorities that we just want to keep the kids playing. Nobody cares how hard the music is anymore. Nobody cares. Are you better than anybody else? Nobody cares if they're first chair or last chair. Yep. Just play.
Yeah, I agree. And I do think it's going to take some resetting, you know, in terms of like the level that we were playing at. It's going to take us a while to get back there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And, you know, that's concerning, but at the same time, you know, we just keep doing what we're doing and keep rebuild just like any corporation or anybody else has to rebuild after this time. We're going to have to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're all worried about numbers and, you know, so that is a concern, you know. Am I going to be able to have five periods full of kids, or am I going to have to cut down to four and do something else, which I can do, I guess. But so that, yeah, there's always those concerns. I'm sure a lot of our listeners out there have the same concerns. And we have to also come up with some different ideas. Like, you know, at the high school, I could possibly start a true beginner group, you know, if that's what I have to do. And maybe it's a small class, but you know, with the right determination, it's amazing what kids can do in just a year, especially if they're, you know, really focused and they might be able to get close to catching up to everybody else, you know. So those are some different options or alternative styles. Or we already have a big music tech program at our school, and we have guitar and we have keyboard and chorus band, orchestra. So we already have kind of the full gamut, and those positions are covered. So it's almost a matter of maybe coming up, even with something different, even more different than what's been done before. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah. I do hope we all have jobs. Orange County is really committed to maintaining the arts. Mm-hmm. I just hope that we maintain 75% of what we've done, like the framework of all that we've achieved over the years. I really hope that we don't have to cut string teachers, because we are now able to brag that there is a string program in every secondary school.
That is amazing.
Now, that doesn't mean there's a string teacher in every school. Many times they're just offering one or two classes run through the band or chorus.
Sure.
So that's where our county has been focusing its efforts as a string faculty, is to help those teachers become more familiar with those strings. And then probably 70% of our teachers are still string teachers. So I hope that we don't have to start doing a lot of itinerant work in the future just to keep our strength programs alive.
We're
too strong, and there's no reason why we should have to go too far back. Let's just maintain and push forward.
Right. Well, I recall my days teaching in Orange County, and one of the things I miss about being there is just the people were always awesome, and they did pull together, and just there's great camaraderie there. And
it really is. It's a family. It is amazing. There's such, it's such a unique situation that you've got so many teachers that have been around as long as I have. And you get these newbies, the first, second, third year teachers that we take under our wing. It's so heart-filling to see so many of my former interns wanting to teach and getting to teach in Orange County. So I have this little mama duck and her little duckling interns family thing going on. I love our faculty with all my heart. They are my family.
Yep. I enjoyed being a part of that a lot. And like I said, that's, I think, what I miss most about teaching there, because it was a great community.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Great people. So, and one of the highlights last year was at ASTA, when it was down there, and I got to see all of you guys and hang out a little bit. And that was right before everything shut down and everybody was a little bit nervous, but we were there and everything was okay. We didn't even realize where we were going at that time, right?
I remember seeing you going, "You made it." And you were like, I don't know. It was weird though. This last plane flight, it was a little scary that you were hopefully going to get home and everything. It was almost
I was on the cusp of not being able to go, I think.
Yeah.
Right there. And, but luckily it worked out. And, but I think when we were there, we're like, oh, by the fall, well, everything will be back to normal. And
we didn't know. And we keep hoping for the fall. I think that's my personal goal is, okay, I can do this for 1 year. Let's all wear our masks, do whatever is guidance. Let's keep those numbers down so that this is the only year that we can look back and just say, oh man, remember that year we got through it and we learned from it. We reset our priorities. That's really what I hope. For 2 years, that's going to give me more gray hairs than I would be comfortable with.
Absolutely.
But it's what we will do. It's what we do.
No, you do what you have to do. I do think though that a lot of teachers are figuring out a lot of things that they wouldn't have had to figure out, and learning a lot and bringing on tools that are valuable even when we go back to normal. Like I know that there are certain tools that I'm going to continue to use and some strategies I'm going to continue to use to save time in class and automate some things. And I've always been a techie guy, but even now I've had to do even more, and it's really been kind of a great learning experience. So I fear that a lot of this virtual stuff they're gonna try to replace the face to face with virtual just because it's easier and people don't have to leave, But one of the things I have liked is I have 6-period planning and I get to school really, really, really early. So then nobody has a problem with me, taking off a few minutes earlier than when we're required to, because I get there so early. But when we have like an after school, 504 meeting or a IEP meeting or something, I can be on the virtual call and not be at school or be, on my way somewhere and go to an appointment, And so that has been kind of nice.
It really has. I do not mind virtual faculty meetings because they're one window. They're talking about their stuff that may or may not apply to me. And I'm over there grading and clicking through and learning and doing all that. And whenever anyone asks, "Hey, do you want to get together all face to face and do this thing?" I'm kind of like, "No, can we do it virtual?" Because we have become such great multitaskers. Yes.
Yeah.
Since I've got this national platform, I'd like to give a shout out to a lot of all those teachers who are sharing their content so freely, like you Anna Radspinner, and just all of you that are out there saying, "Hey, I did this cool thing, and here, everybody, just take it if you want it. No charge, use it. Tell me how you used it. That's the only payment I want.
Right. I love hearing when people, you know, say, oh, I like this video or this really helped me. I mean, that's what makes me keep wanting to create more. Obviously, I'm creating them for my students first and foremost, because that's what we're supposed to be doing. But, you know, if it works for you or works for someone else, that's wonderful. I love that. So that's so nice that you say that. And yeah, there's so many great creators out there.
Yeah, it's insane. And I know the time it takes to put together a YouTube, and I know the more editing you do, the better you get and the faster you get. So it's almost an automatic process, like you and your podcast. You said it may take 30 minutes at the end and put it together and we're all done.
Yeah.
But for you to just share this content so freely, it's really a lifesaver, all of you that are doing this.
Well, that's really nice you say that. And yeah, I agree. I've gotten so much from other people. And just ideas. And, you know, I told you before we started the podcast, the reason I do this is so that, you know, I can reflect as well. So it's for everybody, but it's also selfishly, it's a little bit for me too, because I get to confirm and, you know, things that are going on when you're talking about, oh, you're not the only one that, you know, the cameras are off and you're struggling with this. And so it's just a really good reaffirmation, you know, for me to be able to hear what you say and obviously share all this great information.
Yep.
So, any other successes or things that things maybe you're concerned about? I know we've hit on a lot already, and you know, just a lot of great ideas and great content as we go through.
I'm really proud of my kids that are making it work no matter what. The kids that are sitting at home that just miss playing with an all enveloping sound, and the face to face kids are getting that more. With orchestra, I do have, with the exception of bass, I have a full complement of instruments practically in every class.
That's
so
great.
You're getting that around them. I think that my concerns are, like we talked about, a little bit of the rebuilding and, you know, will I ever get back to grade blah, blah, blah literature with that class?
Right.
I'm kind of shoving that off to the side. My concerns are evaluative. Will the MPA process or our evaluation system take into effect what we've all been through? Mm-hmm. But great teaching is still great teaching, and great kids can still make things happen, and you can still find things to inspire when we get back to normal. So I'll just take that one day at a time. Of course, I worry about the kids that have fallen off the map. I worry about those kids that haven't ever been tuned and turned on their camera, and I don't know what's going on. That worries me that I'm going to have to do even more in the future. I'm sorry to say that, but like, am I going to have to hold kids back in a level that they were already at because they never turned on the camera and never came in for tutoring? Mm-hmm. But if they want to succeed, we can't just socially promote. And I'll explain what that means to them. Because this is a skill-based thing. And if you still want to stick with this, then these are the skills you need to learn in order to get back on track.
And so you have four levels, and they're all ability-based, not grade-based.
Correct.
Yeah, that's super nice.
It is. I never complained about that at all.
No.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything in my county is grade based. So, you know, you get the kids who are superstars and they're carrying the class, but then you have the kids who kind of have always sat in the back and are real timid. And then they come up to high school where we are ability based. And then we have the students who, like, they finally have to realize, like, oh, I have to play. You know, because the kids who were superstars have auditioned up. And they're in the second level, third level, or fourth level class for me. And now my first level class is all the kids who kind of sat in the back. So for me, it's almost like working with true beginners, rebuilding skills and, you know, realizing, yeah, you have to hold your instrument this way, and we have to have our left hand this way, and this is how we produce a good sound. So I wish we were able to have that ability-based levels at the middle school. Like we do at the high school, but it's not that way. And the scheduling, that's how they're all, that's super nice though.
It makes all the difference in the world. Does. But the reason why we have ability base is because we started in fourth grade.
Ah, that's right.
Yep. So we have all those string kids coming into sixth grade with 2 years experience, and Our school understands that 2 years experience is not the same as 0 years experience.
Yeah.
We still have a couple cases this year, especially where it's like, hey, they have to have a double block reading. So either you bump them up to chamber or they have to drop orchestra.
Wow.
And I'm so proud of those kids because in a sink or swim situation, they learn to swim. And I'm super proud of them.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It is amazing what kids can do when they're given a challenge.
Yeah.
Determined, you know, they can really step up. And I've just seen, I mean, I wouldn't call it a miracle, but it's amazing. Like it just, and it warms my heart to see those kids that are maybe having to take a class that is beyond them just because of scheduling. And then they run with it and they do. In fact,
I know for a fact that Santa Claus is going to be bringing him a new cello this year.
Nice.
Yep. Because of all the work that he did. And he now loves orchestra because he has been pushed so hard. I'm excited for that, kid. But he was in beginning last year and he had to jump 2 levels to the top group. And I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's a jump. Grade 0.5 jumping to grade 2 right now.
Yeah.
If not a 2.5. So I'm super proud of that kid, but I won't say whose name is because I don't want to ruin the surprise.
So, well, Lisa, it has been a pleasure to have you on the show. And I'm so thankful for your friendship and everything that you've done for me and then also our string community and all of your students. They're so lucky to have you. And you're an amazing person. And I'm so grateful that you were able to come on today and share your words of wisdom and your experiences with us.
I really appreciate it. I'm just doing like every other teacher. I'm just trying to make what we've got work. And again, I appreciate all of you who are sharing content on national sites, YouTube, or our school orchestra teachers' Facebook.
Sure.
I click save on that thing more times than I can count. I agree with you that in the future, when we are all face-to-face, I am going to be even more heavily armed with not just 2 tricks up my sleeve, but 15 for teaching every concept because of all that we've had to learn this year.
Yeah. I think, what we go through always makes us stronger. And, as I always am talking to people about just being grateful for what we do have and the things that, we can control and, just keep pushing forward with the things that we can't.
Yep. Yep.
So, but thank you again. And, we will see all of you next time on the Orchestra Teacher Podcast. Be sure to check out the description for Lisa's bio and also her contact information should you want to reach out to her for questions or any other kind of engagements. So she's awesome to work with, and I appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much. Much love to you all.
We'll see you guys later. You've been listening to the Orchestra Teacher Podcast.